The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
With what's the up, quarter smiling zip. Desperado?
Yeah, what do they call him? Smiling, what is it?
Smiling Desperado.
That's my Wu-Tang name.
Smiling with a question mark after it.
Smiling Desperado. What's your Wu-Tang name?
Lucky Knight.
Shout out to Larry Fresh
sent those.
Larry Fresh on Twitter putting us in the Wu-Tang generator. What is your name?
Lucky Knight with a K.
Oh, yours is cooler. Lucky Knight.
I'll take that one. You can call me Lucky
we'll
Knight
see.
Anytime.
We'll see if they come on the show or not. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it won't even be us. Maybe they'll just come on another show because of when their concerts are.
Oh, yeah, that's extremely possible. Yeah.
I don't know. Might not be us in the end.
Like, they used to do that in San Francisco, too, right? Like, where I did a morning show for a pop station, like, interning way back in the day when I was, like, 21. And there was, like, the local comedy club, so we'd get the comedians in the morning.
In the morning,
but
always.
It was always because of the timing, yeah.
Always, 100% of the time. We got Zach and Crack on the show today. Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, Zach Cohen on Indian Wells. Tournament started yesterday. Not all matches were complete because they got some rain last night, but they will make it up today because the weather looks pristine. We'll get into that with him. I got my tennis picks coming up. And, ladies and gentlemen, special numbers game investigation reveals that the 96th Academy Awards are on Sunday. And our buddy Brian Ortega will join us to talk about his favorite
bets. Watch out, Ortega.
Ortega. Although, like, he couldn't be bothered to come down to the D, I'm told.
I know. How dare he?
Big time.
How dare he? Don't worry. We'll have him on Skype. We'll be able to see his beautiful, beautiful face.
He's going to be wearing a tuxedo while on Skype or not?
I don't know. We might have to take our on-the-phone graphic just to cover him up a couple times.
Really, the big news heading into this show is injuries. And I think, Kelly, we all can agree that Ben Simmons being out for the season is the biggest of the bunch.
Yep, the Nets are going to desperately miss his contributions in their hopes for a playoff appearance. Yeah,
he played 15 games this year.
I looked up earlier. I think it was 143. I looked up earlier. I'm like, how much money has Ben Simmons made in his career? That is $143 million to answer that question.
He will remain out for the season while he consults with specialists and explores treatment options for the nerve impingement in his lower back. We certainly don't want to make light of it if it's a serious thing, but given the history of his career, it kind of comes with a sort of, I don't know if he likes basketball kind of
We've gotten to the point where it's just sad at this point. Like, I don't really know that there's any team going forward that's going to feel like they can ever sign this guy and count on him to do anything. I mean, he's going to enter into the, you know, vet minimum status for his next contracts, and it's just sad because now it's been injuries racking up over the years too. Who knows? Maybe this is a guy who's not in the NBA much longer.
LeBron goes out with an ankle injury late in the game of the Lakers' loss yesterday. Lakers did not look good, but that you were saying off air, it's like it's no big deal. It's just for so he can list himself as questionable finally, legitimately or seemingly legitimately.
That was me maybe ranting, but look, if you've been following the NBA at all, the Lakers are pulling the whole like Patriots thing they did for a decade, where it was like, oh yeah, by the way, our entire roster is questionable this week. You're like, okay, this seems really fair that you get to do this and nobody else does. That's been LeBron James and Anthony Davis every single game are listed as questionable. AD gets the probable tag fairly often. Maybe I should let them off the hook with that. Yeah. But, I mean, the comments after the game were about, well, this is the ankle injury that he's been working through the past few games. So, yes, I was kind of raging to you. This gives him an excuse to continue to list him as questionable for the end of time.
The big injury just came down here about a half hour before the show. Shams Charania, just in Minnesota Timberwolves All-Star Karl Anthony Towns, diagnosed with a torn meniscus in his left knee. And he is out indefinitely, sources telling The Athletic. And that is obviously massive in so many ways. Right now, the Timberwolves in a tie with the Thunder for not only the best record in their division, which obviously with the Nuggets just one game behind that, division implications, Western Conference seeding implications, maybe even Western Conference and NBA futures implications, if you want to go that far. But my brain goes immediately to MVP, not that the T-Wolves had a candidate, but the whole notion of if the Thunder get the number one seed, SGA is going to get it. If the Nuggets get the number one seed, Jokic is going to get it. So we don't know how long he's going to be out for, but that's obviously, depending on how you feel about the T-Wolves, and especially if you have T-Wolves tickets. Oh, boy.
This is awful. I don't know that this is... You expect Anthony Edwards to keep growing and getting better, and you expect that Minnesota's going to have opportunities in the future, but you never know that, right? You never know that. We've been talking all year about how stacked this Western Conference is, and they were the top seed, you know, the top seed for so much of the season, and right now, and to have an injury like this happen, it's brutal. It's really brutal, and if he misses, you know, assuming he misses, if he does miss the rest of the year, with how stacked the West is, Gil, it's really tough to see them emerging. I think their path was already going to be tough for what some other teams can match up with them in the playoffs with. It was going to be tough already. You take Karl Anthony Towns out of that lineup. This just became a whole lot more difficult for them. For MVP, definitely has implications. This is pretty massive. This will shake some things up for sure.
Now, where I'm going today, 2:30 p.m. Pacific.
Where are you going?
West Coast Conference Tournament, the Orleans, baby.
Nice. I've been to the Orleans in so long.
That's my annual trip to the Orleans for the West Coast Conference Tournament.
Actually, I can tell you, the last time I was at the Orleans was whenever the new Boyd account started. And I had to go over there to sign up, yeah.
Pepperdine Pacific, the only game today over there. No Houston Mallett. Mallett out for the season. Got a knee injury in the final game of the year for Pepperdine, so he's sitting it out. But still, even without Houston... the Waves, 9.5-point favorites, they still probably should be able to clear that against Pacific. Certainly, we got the win here.
Would be a lot cooler if you were just going to Pepperdine for the game, though.
It would absolutely. with views of the Pacific Ocean. Lorenzo Romar was fired. He will not be coaching this game. Josh Newman will be their the associate head coach, will be their interim coach here for this ball game here. So headed down there. I do the whole Big West the West Coast Conference, Big West Small Conference Quiniela, because my buddy is Houston's dad. He's also the AD at UC Riverside, so then I go support him there. So it's a whole thing. Small conference tournaments.
Cool. Those
baby.
Are always cool though, because it's a
nice place to be.
Not too many people. Like it's not overwhelming from that standpoint. That stuff's always.
If Wishnev were here, you'd hear him screaming at him.
Right, exactly. Yeah. This is why I always bring up loving the Dollar Loan Center so much. Where I'm like, this was designed for like 3,000 people. It's great. It's amazing.
Dollar Loan Center. All right, tennis yesterday. We went 2-2. If you grabbed all of my picks, that is, at VSiN.com/picks. I also gave them out here on the show. 2-2, we actually deserved better. It's a winning day for us at 2-2 because we hit Katie Valenets plus 235, getting it done in straights over Mira Andreeva. It was a protractor special. She was just playing the court and the angles beautifully against Andreeva. She frustrated her, and although Andreeva had the game on her racket, the match on her racket in both the first set and the second set, she couldn't get it done. Valenets wins it in straights. That's a plus 235 winner for us. We also win another one in straights. Tatiana Maria beating Arantxa Rus as a small dog. But we lose the other two in third set breakers. Oh, oof. Brutal. So it's still a 2-2 winning day, and we'll take it. By the way, one of those matches, Daria Saville, and this is just tennis, right? We're up 5-2 in the first set. She loses the first set. Up 5-love in the second set. She ekes out the win 6-4. Then she's up a break in the third set, loses in a breaker. If you watched every point of that match, God bless you. Because they were mentally weak, both players, and it was just horrible to watch. Anyway, we'll take the win. We move on. Congratulations for everybody who had Valenets on this.
So two L's with tiebreakers? That was the 2-2?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Third set breakers. Yeah, brutal. But Valenets got us the win. So here's the thing. So you just have to kind of suck it up and move. You're like a hard luck win, but we'll take it.
It's like when people talk about NBA, and like, how do you bet this stuff? It's like, well, you got hopefully the bad losses, you get some good wins out of that too.
Yeah. Although, what did you deserve? We'd probably deserve the 3-1.
Right,
we should have had the Seville win,
yes.
Right? So it's kind of bitter. Okay. The big news in tennis, speaking of injuries, which are a theme in the NBA, we just talked about, you know, sort of tongue in cheek with Simmons, but also obviously with LeBron, but really with Karl Anthony Towns. Rafa Nadal pulls out of Indian Wells, pulls out of it, just says he can't do it. He can't he can't play tennis at the level he needs to, at the highest level, to win this thing. So after playing this exhibition with Carlitos Alcaraz out here in Vegas.
I forgot to ask, did you go to that, by the way?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't because it wasn't in a tennis venue. It was in an arena, right? It was the Michelob Arena. So you're going to be far away from the court unless you want the ones real close. And then it's like astronomical for fake tennis.
Right.
You can't bet on it, right?
I saw somebody hanging out with Alcaraz afterward. I know Joe JT, but the brick was in the picture too. He's such a little guy. Carlito's such a little guy in those pictures.
Yeah, is that what he said?
It just looks like it when he's like standing next to, you know, other people.
So today, three plays, but let me clarify that. I have two pre-flop. They're going to make up all these matches. One on the men's side, one on the ladies' side. On the men's side, I've got Hugo Grenier. That's spelled Grenier. He's -106 against Alexander Mueller. Grenier has great, sneaky, great hardcore stats. So at -106, that's the play there. And I'm taking a small dog in on the ladies' side, Victoria Tomova, at +125 over the former Australian Open champ, Sophia Kenin. This is as much a fade of Kenin as it is a backing of Tomova. So Grenier -106 on the men's side, Tomova +125 on the women's side. There is a third play. And this is one of these rare occasions where we get to make an in-match play where we're not hurried up because the match is going on. Because they stopped play last night, we have a situation with Emil Ruusuvuori against Dusan Lajovic. Ruusuvuori is down a set. So could we flame out very quickly in one set here? Sure we could. But he's +313. His hardcourt numbers are way better than Lajovic's. If we can get the second set, we'll immediately flip to about a $3 favorite, +313 in match on Emil Ruusuvuori. He's the guy with four U's in his last name.
Nightmare.
+313 on Ruusuvuori in match. Join me, Zach Cohen, on tennis and basketball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the Grapefruit Cactus Leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN experts. World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. By the way, Emil Ruusuvuori, who I'm betting in match here at +313, down a set to Dusan Lajovic. He is the guy that I... Oh, you're betting it? You're jumping on?
Yeah.
He's the guy that I refer to as my Irvin Santana. Do you know what that reference is?
No.
When I used to bet baseball every single night, multiple games, Irvin Santana was the dude that whenever I bet on him, he was horrific. And whenever I faded him, he's the greatest pitcher who's ever lived. So I'm hoping Ruusuvuori, with this one win, can make up for a bunch of that heartache if he can come back and win this match.
That would be similar to the Miami Heat for me the past couple years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I ever bet on them, they look like the worst team that's ever played basketball.
You loved them until you should have loved them and did not.
I'm going to have to dance around that one this whole playoffs, too.
Zach Cohen joins us, everybody. He is on Twitter at Betting on X, specifically X, not Twitter, of course. And he joins us now. He is a senior writer at VSiN.com. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. Favorite tournament of the year.
Favorite tournament. Have you ever been to Indian Wells for this? Have you ever attended?
I have been there. I went there 4 years ago. It's beautiful. It's one of the most incredible venues in sports. Really interesting. It's almost like an empty crowd. You can walk around, do whatever you want, but really relaxing event, and just the scenes are incredible.
I went last year. It was my first time. Tennis Paradise, they referred to it. It is aptly named. It was packed. I don't know if it was a post-pandemic thing where everybody just decided we're all going to this amazing thing, and it's so cool. I agree with you. It's like one of the sneakiest great, not only tennis tournaments, but just sporting events. And I also, the other thing about this, and this just gives me a little bit of chills here, this will have nothing to do with anything, but 4 years ago, right before the pandemic hit, so this, you know, it was a week later in terms of how it juxtaposed against college basketball. So the week where all the college basketball tournaments shut down, which is how we as sports fans sort of remember the pandemic in sports terms. Remember the night before, or the two nights before Rudy Gobert, you know, that incident where they cleared the floor and then Tom Hanks was announced to have it. Anyway, the Sunday before that, right? So the beginning of that week, I was in the San Francisco airport coming back to Vegas. And obviously, you know, tennis fans are sparser, but they announced that this tournament was canceled. It was the first kind of thing before everything. And you know that Hitchcock thing where he used to have an actor and then the background would spin around him? That's how I felt. Like, I was like, oh, like I got it, right? I was like, oh no. Like the world is about to change. And then we had no idea what was to follow. Okay. Speaking of that, what did you play today?
I have a few plays. My biggest one is Shintaro Mochizuki to beat Alexander Vukic. Wow. I wish it was a higher profile match, but Vukic is 1-6 in his 7 matches this year. These are courts that play really slow. It's a tournament that historically plays, you know, a little bit more like clay than it does hard courts. And this is a guy that really only has a first serve to lean on. He hasn't really had that serve this year. And I do think that if he does, you know, run into any trouble with his first serve percentage, he's going to have a lot of trouble. Mochizuki is a really talented player, a former world number one as a junior, and just a really talented baseliner with, you know, a lot of craftiness in his game. I think this is a really good matchup for him on these courts, and I think it's a play that I really love a lot.
All right. What are your others?
Hugo Grenier to beat Alexander Müller. Grenier beat him in Australian Open 3-2, 5-setter. He's now won 3 matches in a row against Müller. Müller is just really struggling for form right now. He's lost in the first round of back-to-back events. One of those matches was against Andy Murray, who's, you know, really out of form right now. I just think that Grenier has a really, you know, tricky game for him. He's a guy with a big serve, big powerful game from the baseline. That's kind of the way that Müller likes to play, but Grenier is just a little bit better at it. And then my final play, just in terms of sides, is I have Victoria Tomova money line plus 134 against Sophia Kenin, who, look, I wish I was rooting for the American, but Kenin lost 5 matches in a row, 1-6 on the year as well. Just a player that when she's struggling for form, she could be a disaster. I think that she doesn't really move very well. She could spray unforced errors from the baseline. Tomova, you know, kind of a relentless baseliner, a bit of a grinder. I think that these conditions, again, suit her pretty well.
Bro, we match on 2 of our 3. That's unbelievable.
Oh, awesome. So, and they're weird, too.
The odds of that are very slim, by the way, given all the matches that are being played today. So we either win this together, Zach, or we go down in flames together. We shall see, but I'm glad that we're on the same side here. Okay. College basketball, obviously, smaller conferences this week. Do you play a lot of these in terms of futures? Do you play individual games? How do you attack these?
I really don't play. Until we get to the bigger conferences, I'm not really touching the conference tournaments. You know, I just like to trust what I've seen throughout the year, and I haven't watched much of the mid-majors. I'll really study up, you know, as we start to do, you know, the NCAA tournament guide, which is, you know, going to be 2 weeks from now. So I'm kind of in the bunker over the next 2 weeks. But yeah, I really stick to the conferences that I know. I try to avoid, you know, going with these smaller ones.
Okay. NBA, anything?
Yeah, I have the Pistons money line against the Nets tonight, plus 115, which, again, I don't like taking, you know, a bad team, but the Nets are playing their 3rd game in 4 nights. You know, these situational spots have really gotten to teams this year, you know, especially the 3 games in 4 nights. I think Brooklyn's going to be a little bit tired tonight. They're without Cam Johnson, without Cam Thomas. We just learned this morning, no Ben Simmons for the rest of the season. And the Pistons have just been a lot better than people think throughout the year. You know, they've you know, have the terrible record, but they've been really good 2 betters. But now they get a team that is not more talented than them. They're playing at home. I think that they should win this game. And it's not, you know, a Brooklyn team that really rains threes on you. They can shoot the ball, but they're going to be a little bit tired. If you're not really, you know, making 20, 25 threes against this Pistons team, I think that you're in danger of losing.
Kelly, you know what else this Karl Anthony Towns injury might affect?
What's that?
You know where I'm going with this?
No, I have no idea.
What happens if the Minnesota Timberwolves defense suddenly falls off a cliff? What happens if that happens? Are you going to wake up? Is everybody going to wake up? Sorry, just at a moment. I apologize.
You were just, that's an interesting injury.
You didn't even hear what Zach said. You were thinking about that the entire
the whole time.
Probably.
Yeah, when he brought up Ben Simmons, I'm like, hey, you know what else? I'm sorry, Zach. Okay, baseball obviously upon us. Do you do a lot of baseball?
I do a little bit of baseball. I'll be doing player props throughout the season. I have some futures up on the website right now. I think I told you already. I have Walker Buehler as one of my shots to win Cy Young. I'm trying to think of what else I have. I have Matt Olson to win MVP. That's another one that, you know, I just think that this is a guy who is 15-1 to win MVP. Last year, he had 50 homers, 130 RBIs. You know, one of the best hitters in the league, a really solid fielder. I just think, you know, you take these guys that rack up stats and good offenses enough, they'll probably win MVP. I think this is one of the best hitters in the league, and I'd be really surprised if at the end of this, you know, end of his career, he doesn't win one. So it's one that I just kind of want to jump on. I just think he's good enough to do it.
All right. So what percentage of your betting mind now is on tennis when you're writing pieces and betting, and what percentage is on everything else for these for this week and a half?
For the next week and a half, I'm like 60% tennis just because it is Indian Wells. And then, you know, we're going to go right into Miami. It's a big time for tennis. And I say the rest, you know, is mostly basketball. And then, you know, I allocate a lower percentage to NCAA basketball and MLB.
All right. We look forward to that. Any, by the way, any futures in Indian Wells before we let you go that you've made?
Yeah, I played Alcaraz to win the tournament. You know, the form hasn't really been there for him, but I did take him last year to win here. I kind of think that a slower hard court really brings out the best in his game. I think that he's a guy that needs a little extra time on the ball, but at the same time, you know, he wants to have the hard court to power through it. I think that these conditions really bring out the best in him. And I thought that he looked decent in that match against Nadal. It was disappointing to see Nadal back out. I thought that he looked okay in the Netflix slam. And I also took Holger Rune to win quarter two at 8-1, which was Nadal's portion of the bracket. He was supposed to play Rune in round two. I just like that Rune is playing in the Medvedev portion of the bracket. I think that this is where you want to play Medvedev. He historically does not like Indian Wells. And Rune looked good in Acapulco and just kind of played some solid tennis over the course of the year.
Nadal, 22 slams, 14 of which are French Open titles. I agree with you. Like, he looked okay from what I saw. I didn't see much of it, right? But from what everybody else said, he looked fine in the exhibition. So it's a little, people are a little confused about this, but I guess he felt how he felt. Did you take it as it's over, we'll never see him compete at the highest level again, or did you take it as no, he's just going to make one last clay stand, and that will probably be it?
I think that the pattern is disturbing of him just kind of like saying he's going to play in these tournaments. We get right up to the tournament, and he says, oh, I don't feel good enough to compete. So I think that, you know, I don't think we're going to see a full clay season out of him. I'd be shocked if he doesn't push himself to play Roland Garros and play the Olympics. But I do think that maybe the lead-up events, we kind of see him backing out as well. There's something off about it.
Yeah, I'm a little sad about it last night. Zach, appreciate it as always, man, and let's get it done today.
Yep, thanks, guys.
My man, Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X. What do you think he could sell that Twitter handle for, Betting on X? You think people would line up to buy that?
I don't know. Sell it now, though, before he changes it back to Twitter.
That's true.
It's happening at some point, right? Like, what are we doing here?
I haven't stopped saying it.
I haven't stopped saying it either. Nobody has.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Academy Awards betting is next with the great Brian Ortega. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before the tournament tips off, start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus our March Mania betting guide. I think they mean March Madness, right? And with best bets, but we can't say that. Best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG, as in a numbers game where we are smooth like butter.
March Mania. Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. 96th Academy Awards on Sunday night, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, I thought this was sports. Can you make money on it or not? The answer is yes. So we bring in, of course, the great host of the Concierge Confidential podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Ortega LV. Look at this dude. It's Brian Ortega, everybody. Wow.
Nice to meet everybody. I heard earlier in the show that you thought I might come in a tux. It is, what is it, Thursday? But never too early to wear a tux. So just for you guys.
Are you going to wear that through the Academy Awards Sunday? Like, you taking that off between now and then?
Nope. I'm going to produce shows just like this, and no one's ever going to see it except the guys in the back. Okay. Yes, I will wear this every single day.
Yeah, Brian Ortega, also a VSiN producer here. I want to ask you, though, obviously you're the big movie guy. Is this the best of the best that you have behind you as far as the DVD collection goes, or is this the entirety of it?
I have to say, people take this very seriously. Like, some people go by like categories and like alphabetical order. I just threw some movies up there, to be honest.
Okay.
There is Heat is up there. Oppenheimer is also up there somewhere. Godfather, the whole pack is in there. As close as it is to my head, that's the most important one. So that's how that
works. I thought what you were going to ask him, because this was the obvious question, was are you wearing pants or is it just the top of the tuxedo? That's what I thought you were.
Anybody who works in this business knows that answer.
You don't have to answer that, Brian. All right.
It is 7:30, I have to say.
Before we get into your bets, category by category here, just for those of us who don't get a chance to see movies, right? We're just immersed in what we do here betting-wise and on these shows. If we could make some time to just watch one film this year, try to keep it to one, what would that film be?
Well, if you watch one film, you'd watch a 3-hour movie. So one might just be enough. I would say Oppenheimer is probably the one. It's the favorite to win Best Picture. And it was my favorite of last year. I think I told you, Gil, I actually did one of your shows where I did the show and flew to Los Angeles to watch it in 70mm IMAX. So I would say Oppenheimer because it's 3 hours, but it's a whole movie all in one. But I would say if you're just a casual movie goer, I would say American Fiction is probably the one. It's a really fun movie, very modern, really for adults. So I would say American Fiction is one you can make time for.
He loves an adult film.
A big adult film fan.
What was your famous line to JVT? We're like, maybe you just don't understand this film, Jonathan.
Those were the best live Ben Saturdays ever.
There's lots of words in this. I don't know if you'll get it.
All right. So, that's right. Lots of words. So Oppenheimer, prohibitive favorite to win Best Picture, -3,800 I'm staring at. That's going to win, right?
Yes, 100%. Okay. Oppenheimer's won all the big awards. I wrote an article for vsin.com. You can check it out now, that stating that Oppenheimer's actually won all the big precursor awards, where the only time a movie has won all the precursor awards leading up to the Academy Awards and not win was only once in the entire year that history that we've been doing this. So that, by the way, Apollo 13, if you want to use that as a cocktail party answer. But Oppenheimer is the go-to. I would also lump in Christopher Nolan with that. Christopher Nolan's going to win Best Director. He's like minus also 5,000. So no value there. You really had to get on this early. But even Best Director was gone like in September or October.
So Cillian Murphy's winning Best Actor too, right? -1,600. There's no question there, is there? Also for Oppenheimer?
There was sort of rumbles going on before the SAG Awards that Paul Giamatti might win the SAG, and kind of it was much closer. I believe Paul Giamatti was around a +250 sort of short dog, and then you had Cillian Murphy was -400, but he shot up to -1,000 just after his win at the SAGs, which usually is the largest precursor to the Academy Awards. So yes, Cillian Murphy is going to win in Best Actor. I'll also cover another one for Best Supporting, Best Supporting and Best Supporting Actress categories. Robert Downey Jr. is going to win Best Supporting Actor, and Best Supporting Actress will be Divine Joy Randolph. She has run just a fantastic race. I wrote in the article that if I had to compare it to another sport event, it would be Secretariat at the 1973 Belmont, just obliterating the competition. She's won every single award. So those are the awards you want to stay away from. But
okay,
there is one I do want to touch, but I think you guys are going to lead into it.
Well, let's start with Best Actress, because this is the one that seems to be, at least the betting market, and from what the rumblings I've heard, the most competitive.
Oh, yeah. So this one, these ladies have going back and forth. Lily Gladstone won a lot in the beginning part of the year, well, essentially end of 2023. And then going into 2024, when we started getting a lot of the other televised awards, Emma Stone really came on. Poor Things really sort of went out wide, and she won the Golden Globe for Best Golden Globe for Comedy. She also won the BAFTA, where Lily Gladstone was not nominated. And going into SAG, Emma Stone was actually the favorite at -120. And then Lily Gladstone was around she was +110. She never got to, big money where I got her at. And then the SAGs happened, where Lily Gladstone had a surprising win. And now you can see that the odds flipped, where she is now -225 with Emma Stone at +150. This is still a very close race. It's not that it always happens, but in the last 10 years, the actress who has won the SAG has gone on to win the Best Academy Award. The only time, there's only two times in the past 10 years that the best SAG leading actress has not won best actress.
Okay, so you have you have a better number on Lily Gladstone that exists now. But if someone said, okay, well, that, does that mean I should not bet Emma Stone at plus 150? You would say...
I would say that it's not bad. At plus 150, it's okay to do that. I kind of hedged where Emma Stone jumped back to plus 150. I put a little sprinkle on that because I do have Lily Gladstone at plus 300. So essentially, you're knocking this five-person race down to two. It's like betting on both teams in the Super Bowl, but I've got them at both plus money. So I would still go into that liking it. But I would really enjoy if Lily Gladstone won just because I could say I was right back in November. So that'd feel really good.
She was awesome in that movie.
You saw that?
Yeah. I didn't make it all the way through, but I saw it. It was good. Hey, there's multiple movies on this year's list that I would say were good movies that I didn't make it all the way through, but she was amazing in that.
All right, Brian, I throw it to you with the rest of your best bets.
Oh, perfect. So a category that I think is very interesting is the screenplay category. And this is actually one of the only categories where I'll give a minus number as a best bet. And that is best original screenplay. And that's for Anatomy of the Fall. Adapted screenplay is where I want to go. But in adapted screenplay, we have American Fiction and Oppenheimer are the two big dogs. And Oppenheimer is a really short dog at plus 200 with American Fiction at minus 250. I think that's actually too short for American Fiction. It should be closer to like minus 500, maybe minus 600, just because American Fiction has won every adapted screenplay award, including the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs. The reason I want to bring up the BAFTAs is the BAFTAs is a British award show. And the writer for Oppenheimer and director is Christopher Nolan, who is British. He won Best Director and Best Picture, but failed to get Best Adapted Screenplay at the BAFTAs on his home turf. And who won? American Fiction. So it should be a much bigger number. Sometimes people look at this and think sort of that big, giant movie like Oppenheimer is just going to run the table. But I think American Fiction at minus 250 is not bad. And I kind of alluded to it in Best Original Screenplay. I did get Anatomy of the Fall at plus 175. And honestly, I was just betting numbers. I didn't see the movie until actually last night. So I actually ended up watching it last night. And I can totally see why it's minus 250. It's in English and French, just in case you guys wanted to go check it out. 2.5 hours. Great courtroom drama if you love French courtrooms. But Anatomy of the Fall is one of my other favorites. With the original.
Who doesn't love French courtrooms?
There's no way it's cracking my top three French courtroom films, okay? There's no way.
All right, so Brian, just so I want to clarify. So adapted screenplay, you're saying American Fiction at minus 250 is still a play. You think it's not, it's still short enough is what you're saying.
Yeah, because we're looking at if it's going to win and then also the number. Obviously, I'm not going to be betting something that's minus 1,000, but something that has a really good chance of winning at minus 250 is actually not bad. I think I usually like to bet things at least plus 110, plus 120 for the Oscars because you just have to get in early. Obviously, for those of you just coming in, this is kind of late in the game. People are always talking about how we already know what's going to happen. Well, the thing is that we've had all these precursors leading up to it. That's why we kind of forecast who's going to win. So really quickly, before we get out of here, a couple categories I want to sort of highlight are production design, makeup, and costume design. I think essentially all of those are going to be going to Poor Things. Poor Things is still plus money in production design, and it's really, in costume design, where it's plus 110 against Barbie. Barbie doesn't have a lot of momentum going into the Academy Awards, and Poor Things is sort of riding this high, where I think they can snag costume design, makeup and hairstyling, and production design. And makeup and hairstyling, they're going up against Maestro, where nobody even liked that movie. And you can still get Poor Things at plus 125. So I would highly recommend something in that production design, costume design, or makeup and hairstyling.
When the 96th Academy Awards returns. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good morning.
The great Brian Ortega. Full tuxedo and all.
Well done.
Crack doesn't have a tuxedo on, but he's unscripted. It's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm having real trouble with the new Jardians girl. I just am. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. We just had Brian Ortega on talking Oscars bets, and I know the categories get a little confusing. So let me just review what his favorite bets of the bunch were. He did say for Best Actress that taking a flyer on Emma Stone at +165, that's where he saw that you can get her at right now, is actually a pretty good bet. So if you can get Emma Stone, Best Actress, +165, even though he has Lily Gladstone at plus money, he actually sprinkled some on Emma Stone as well, plus money. So +165, he said that's a great bet. Best Costume Design, and again, there's you got to really be careful with these categories because there's production design. I'm talking about Best Costume Design. He likes Poor Things at plus money, +110, to upset Barbie. Why you got to upset Barbie? And then the third one that he likes was actually minus money, but he says it's not long enough, is Best Adapted Screenplay. Best Adapted Screenplay. Again, you got to be real careful with these because there's original. This is Adapted Screenplay. American Fiction at -250. Now, if you missed any of that, Brian's stuff got on the DraftKings network. They picked it up as well.
Veasan.com.
Okay.
DK Network, I believe.
DK Network.
DraftKings Network.
DK Network picked up Jason Weingarten's stuff yesterday,
baby.
Yeah. Yes.
They did.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of week. It is Thursday. That means it's Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Yes, sir.
Love that music. Thank you for the intro music. You guys are great.
How you doing? Where's your tuxedo?
No tux.
It was all tuxedos for guests today.
Really?
Yeah, you missed the memo. Sorry.
When I have an event that I have to go in a tux, I have to go rent one. I don't own one.
I don't own a tie.
I don't have a tie home.
Oh, I own a tie. I don't have a single tie. You don't own a tux either, do you?
No, I'm trying to remember the last time. Okay, I could count on one hand how many times I've worn a tux.
Totally.
And the last time I've worn one was I don't even remember. I'm the same way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When do you
college-ish? Something around then?
College-ish. The sight of Kelly at college rocking around the tux. All right. You had your podcast. By the way, when we last left you, we left some questions hanging.
Oh.
You had the lawyer on your podcast, Wisecracks.
Yes. Yes.
His name again?
Professor I. Nelson Rose.
Of course.
He's very astute in gambling, and he has represented so many more people than that I thought of. I never knew all the he's representing 10 people right now. By the way, Advantage Gamblers. Advantage Gamblers and a couple non-Advantage Gamblers. When you know, sites freeze their money or steal their money or have a chance to do that, or casinos, or he's representing, he represented someone that Caesars, at Caesars, he won a $1.1 million jackpot, and the casino's not paying him because he's 19, which they kept the money. So I don't know how he's going to win that. But
well, because here's the thing with someone as esteemed as I. Nelson Rose, Professor
right.
I. Nelson Rose,
yes.
is that when you're at that level of attorney,
right.
you are very deliberate on which cases you choose because you have that luxury.
Yes.
So he's probably in his head doing his probability of winning case
right.
calculus in his head before he says he'll commit to it. So that obviously one he thinks he's going to win.
And he has represented and has been consulted by for people that we actually know. Well, we'll talk about that off air.
But anyway, the answer to the question we had was, do you have to pay taxes for every small, even $20? And the answer is, if you win $20, the answer is yes.
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 If you come into,
that's what I thought.
Come into the circuit here once a year and bet $20 in a Super Bowl, you're responsible for putting that down on your taxes.
That's right. You're responsible.
Yes.
For it. That's
now,
what I said
he
last
also
week.
Said his words, not mine. You have a better chance of the government coming after you for that than you are to win the main event,
right.
the World Series. So he did say that. That was the actual analogy he used.
Better chance of the government.
Yeah, they're not coming after. No, the better chance,
winning better
the
chance of winning the World Series
yeah,
than the
that's
government.
That's what I meant.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Even that's what I was saying last week. Even if you win $20, it is on you to report it. If you win six figures at the sports book,
right.
it is on you to report it. That doesn't go to the IRS. That's just an internal document they have you sign.
Yes.
But it's all on you to do.
There's many, many fine lines and the wordings of different laws, though, and I've learned a lot of things, you know. Let me just tell you, your buddy calls you from back in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
calls you over state lines and says, hey, Gil, put $100 on the Yankees for me. Find it in Las Vegas. The best odds for me, $100 to win the World Series.
Illegal.
Illegal.
If you place the bet, yeah.
It's illegal if you're doing something over $2,000 like per transaction, too. You have to listen to the podcast. Put it this way. I went and listened to it again last night. It's going to be up later on today. Sometimes, you know, you ask such an astute lawyer like this that's so enamored in the gaming field. I think I asked him like 10 direct questions. He probably only answered two. You know, he would go on to a case he had rep because they don't want to be on. I guess it's a hypothesis that he'd be on a film or a tape that for the rest of his life someone can go back and say, you said this.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I do understand a little bit of it. But he's very, very intelligent. He talked about a lot of things, a lot of gaming things. And listen. Every one of us, you know, like, you know, you call, hey, what's the odds over there? Like, what's the odds over there? Well, even in state, if me, you, and Kelly are talking, this was the 2000. If me, you, and Kelly are in the same state, even not violating the 61 Wire Act, and if we go over the amount of $2,000 in cumulative bets talking about on a text or a phone, technically, that's a misdemeanor. Like, it's in state, even.
Wait, talking what? About it?
No. If we're betting.
Oh,
if we're
okay. betting. I was going to say.
No, sorry. No, I'm not talking about, hey,
yeah.
Bet this at circa for two for a grand. Bet this on circa for two
grand.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was going to say, I thought you were just, well, what's the harm in texting about it?
Yeah. No, but you're using a communication the device that technically you're the 61 Wire Act, actually, I found out yesterday, was actually written about for gangsters, like gangsters or organized crime back then. That's what it was written. The Wire Act was written for across the wire. Robert Kennedy actually did it, of course, like he went after everyone else, double crossed the mob and everyone else. But anyway, it's very interesting to listen to the podcast. You're probably going to have to listen to it twice because I had to listen to it twice to get some of the answers on different things, though. But
yeah.
Kind of interesting how he represents a lot of advantage gambling groups. So I thought that was kind of, pretty interesting how a lot of the companies are freezing people's monies in an account if they think it's not you making the bet. So I find that pretty interesting. And he's upset because companies will keep the deposit and the winnings. He's like, well, they got to give the deposit back. No, companies can do what they want. Casinos can do what they want. I brought up the subject of the placard in that casino in California, Pala, that said you can't play under someone else's jackpot. You can't play under someone else's card. He said they can do whatever they want, Bill. The casinos can write their own laws. They can do whatever they want. If they say they're not going to pay you for a certain reason, they're not going to pay you.
Trust me. I know personally. The casinos will make up a story that you didn't bet your own number, that
Listen,
you've been bet your own money.
It happened to me at one of the casinos in town a couple weeks ago. I went partners with someone at a video poker promotion, and just so happens I was playing, because I play a little bit faster than him, but we're playing under his card. We hit a $1,200 jackpot, which is the number, and the guy came over and they paid us, but he said, listen, Bill, just want to tell you, we frown on you using someone else's card. I said, well, he's sitting right here. We're partners. You could look at the camera. We put the money in together, $500 each. He's right here. He said, yeah, but you can't push the button with his card in it, because technically you're playing under his card,
yeah,
and therefore we'll take away all your under your name. Even though I gave my ID because I was hitting the button, he goes, "We'll take away all your club points, all your club. You won't be allowed to play."
That I don't find as surprising. Like that,
And he was sitting with me.
Yeah.
He was sitting with me. Like, if your wife is sitting with you and your wife is playing because she wants to have fun,
right?
And
but
she wants to hit the button, and they won't. Casinos have a right not to pay her. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I just think that's – it happened to me personally.
When it suits them not to pay, right?
When it suits them not to pay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's – listen.
I can see
how
they can take
advantage of that. The laws are written to protect the casinos.
Sure.
Gaming is here to protect the casinos. If it wasn't for the casinos, they wouldn't have jobs. So it's that – even though they're supposedly here to protect the customer too, but – Let's just call it what it is. So, and I've called gaming many times about parlay cards and how sports books are booking one way action on a parlay card, and they say they can do what they want. They can throw you out for that. In other words, you know, the game -7, and you're taking the +7. Oh, we'll take that -7. No, you can't have that way. That's happened on Parlay Cards multiple times to me. Gaming wants nothing to do with it.
Name of the podcast is Wise Cracks. This is Bill Krakenberger and John Orlando, wherever podcasts are distributed. That's their latest episode. More with the Crackman Unscripted. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Lebatard next on DK.